Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Doug Matthews.
Man.
Honestly, Doug, you should have been out here with us today. This is quite the show. But most importantly, you would love Rick's office with all of the Tennessee memorabilia that he has, including a photo of you and Coach Fulmer together.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out exactly, John sent that to me, exactly when that came from. I think that was probably about 94, 5, 6, somewhere along in there.
I'll confirm it for you whenever Rick comes back out here. He's currently getting some things ready for the pool. But but here's the thing, and I was talking with David about this. You haven't changed a bit. You look exactly the same, other than just a handful
outside
of gray hair.
Of those progressive breeders.
I was startled by the way Tate looks a lot like you now.
Well, that isn't Tate. That's actually Nick. That's my youngest son.
No. I'm saying you look like Tate does today.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, a lot of people say that. That they do. Yeah. So I hope he acts a little bit better than I do.
We are on the road today. Doug Matthews joins us, presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Right out of the gate, Doug, let's mention the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Holiday weekend, they want to stress the importance of safe driving over the holiday week, and that includes the new hands-free. You can't, couldn't text and drive. I raise my hand and tell you that is true. Now you have to have hands-free, and they've been stressing that quite a bit.
Really have been. Of course, that started, the first? And I've kind of, as I've driven around, tried to look and see. I haven't seen anybody pulled over yet, at least down in the Williamson County area. I was up in Overton County Monday. But, this is something I think we all knew was coming. And, there's a lot of ways to look at it. But quite frankly, and from talking with the people, Vic Donahoe and the people at the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, there's been, the death rate has been climbing. We know, unfortunately, that there's going to be, in all likelihood, some deaths out on the water on this 4th of July weekend, which is really kind of sad, really, and that if you just follow what you should be doing, that in all likelihood won't happen. And we know we're going to have some deaths on Tennessee highways, and that also is something that can be prevented in great detail if you just simply do the things that the Tennessee Highway Safety Office pushes all the time. Make sure you got that seatbelt clicked, and make sure you're not drinking and driving. Just those two things alone would just greatly reduce the amount of not only deaths but injuries we have in the state of Tennessee every year, both on the water and on the highway.
And if you're out driving this weekend, you will be able to tune in to 104.5 The Zone and hear Doug Matthews live. All the shows will be live, 9 to 11, Forklift Systems Sports Saturday, and then Big Orange Sunday. The best hour-long discussion on Tennessee athletics happens every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on 104.5 The Zone. And Doug, let's start with the Tennessee Vols. Chad and I have been discussing this hour with you quite a bit. And by the way, our phone lines are open if you'd like to talk with Doug. At 615-737-1045, 615-737-1045, if you'd like to jump in, talk college football. Doug's with us today until 11:45. Greg Cosell coming up at 12:15. Let's start, though, with the Manning Passing Academy. Jarrett Garantano makes another trek down there, and I don't care if it's as a player or as a current player who's helping coach and mentor. It's got to be quite the education to get around the Mannings for a week.
It really is. I've had the opportunity. I've never been there, but I've had the opportunity to talk to people that have been there. Frank Wycheck went for several years. Charles Davis goes every single year. They go down there to be around not only the Mannings and not only Peyton. You take Archie. Archie is kind of the guy that, and Cooper, the one that really kind of started all this. But it's a very big event. And it there you look and you see all the young men that go down there, and they actually get. I've had Charles Davis tell me this. The thing that he likes about it is that this isn't one of those camps where you go to and the you know, Peyton or the Mannings, Archie or any of them just say hi to you when you come in and bye when you leave. They're out there actively working with these young men. I think it's a calling for them, and the people that I've talked to that have gone to it have got a great deal out of it. If nothing else, just getting advice from, you know, three people when you throw Eli in there who have played, what, all of them played well over a decade of pro football, including and not to mention the college football. So it's a pretty darn neat, and they do a wonderful job with it every year.
Sticking with the quarterback coaching angle with this, Coach, and we've talked a lot about Tennessee when they didn't have a quarterback coach, when they've had a quarterback coach. They've got a quarterback coach in Jim Chaney as the offensive coordinator. Chris Winkie also will be working with the quarterbacks. How can that help shape a quarterback, and in this instance, Jarrett Garantano, in terms of building confidence and also knowing what to look for on every play? How much do you think that's going to help Jarrett Garantano this season?
And, Chad, not only those two, you throw T. Martin in there. T. Martin was a quarterback coach and is a quarterback coach that happens to be coaching wide receivers. Chris Winkie won the Heisman Trophy and was tutored by an outstanding coach and coaches at Florida State. And then Jim Chaney has been a quarterback coach, even though he's been a walking coordinator at some point. You know he sticks his nose in there, and I say that in a nice way, not a bad way. But that's why I don't particularly like to see quarterbacks going outside and working with someone like some of the quote quarterback gurus in the off season, because you need to have one person, I think, talking to you. Now, it obviously isn't something that the programs have a lot of problem with, or they'd tell them not to do it. But Garantano, I think the best thing that's going to help him is Jim Chaney coming in and making sure that offensive line is going to give him time to throw. Or either that, or he's going to be throwing it quicker. Protection is the number one thing. But, you know, hearing the same thing over and over and over again, getting good feedback from, and, you know, we're all alike, whether the job you do or I do, you want to hear people giving you information that you know knows what the heck they're talking about. Jim Chaney knows that. I think Chris Winkie knows that. He certainly knows it from a quarterback perspective. So, not only is this going to help Garantano, it's going to help those two young quarterbacks as they're being developed, because that is a position that you have to be developed into, no matter what your talent level is. And I go back to Peyton all the time. His freshman year, he certainly wasn't ready to be the starting quarterback, but events threw him in there, and it's trial by fire then. So you hopefully get through a lot of that by being well coached in the off season. During spring practice and then fall practice. And then ultimately you learn from playing games and making mistakes, quite frankly.
Well, Coach, it feels like we're on vacation already today. It's vacation time for a lot of college coaches out there, including Tennessee. Do these guys ever fully get away from their jobs in their minds when they're on vacation getting ready for a football season?
Well, I don't know. I know that I never did. You know, you mentioned that I think even every day that I was in coaching, Christmas Day, New Year's Day, whenever. Of course, New Year's Day, you hoped you were getting ready to play a ball game. That happened occasionally. But, you know, you're always thinking about something. I think, you know, I did the same thing when I was in business, and somewhat the same on the shows. But you don't ever get too far away. And I think most successful people let me say this, I think there's many successful people that in whatever line of work they are in that normally think about something that has to do with their business or their vocation every day. I've tried to at times, and not that you spend a whole lot of time doing it, but, you know, there's always something that creeps in your mind. Did I get this done? Or I see something, maybe I'm watching the ball game or think about something. That's something I would like to try and see if that works in my line of work or in my profession, like football would be in. But they don't get too far away from it. And, of course, recruiting this time of year is so huge that you're always thinking about recruiting this time, even though it's a dead period now.
So, talking about this with Jonathan last week, I can't remember a time where there was less talk about a Tennessee football team during the summer months going into a season. And I feel like that's partially by design, with what Jeremy wants ultimately with the program is to be quiet and just be about action on the field. What's your sense of anticipation of this season with Tennessee fans right now and kind of this wait-and-see approach with this team? Because I'm not hearing a lot of things, good or bad, about this Tennessee football team right now.
Well, that's certainly by design. I think he is a guy, from everything that I have gleaned from him, listening to him, talking to him, but more importantly, watching what he does. I don't think he's a hype guy. I think he, just like he said last year, they asked him what grade he would give on his season. He said 5-7. That was the record. That's the grade on the season. He certainly doesn't hype it. I think he's very confident in what he's doing. I know he has total support from the people that are his administrators above him, and he's not that type of guy. You know, I think a lot of that comes from his high school background, believe it or not. He was a long-time high school coach, and, you know, you just – things change in high school more than any. You know, you got people moving in, moving out, but that's not him. He's not a hype guy. I think the other thing about it too, Chad, is from a Tennessee perspective, you know, since they're not doing the caravans – and the going out this year, you know, there's not a whole lot of talk in that area. I will say this, though. I think there's certainly a lot of anticipation for this football team from the fan base itself, but we're just not hearing a whole lot about it. You got a couple of different groups looking at it. You know, how many games are we going to win? Are we moving in the right direction? You got a lot of new things up there. You got athletic director been on the job 2 years. You got a head football coach going into his second year. How are things going to change, and are they going to change, and how quickly are they going to change? All questions that have not even come close to being answered yet. We're going to get a much better picture this year with this team, just on simply, as I've said many times, I'm going to evaluate this team on, are we better coached? Are we better? The players that have been brought in by this staff, are they better, more physical type players? The ones that are there, are they better? Have they improved in the little things that win ball games? And everything that I have actually seen in practice and talking to people that I fully trust that go to practice, I think we're going to see improvement at. Now, how many games will that be? I don't know, because I don't know how good these other teams are going to be. I don't know how good Mississippi State's going to be. I don't know how good BYU is going to be. I got a pretty good idea how good Alabama and Georgia are going to be. But they're just you don't know until you get into those games. Just one last thing on that. You know, I said this Sunday. Two of the teams that I coached with in the 10 years I was Tennessee, well, more than two, but two that won championships, neither one of those teams were the most talented team in the league that particular year. But they played well together. I think they were very well coached. We got fortunate in some injuries. And in the 85 year, when we had some injuries, we had some guys step up that we didn't even know we had, quite frankly, Darryl Dickey and Jeff Powell being two of those. And they played at a championship level. So some of these young guys, or some of the older guys, are going to have to come in, and they're going to have to be better than they were last year, and they got to perform better than they were last year. That's the challenge for those young men.
Continuity has been an issue with coaching staffs at Tennessee, and just in terms of a program and expectations and what players can expect going into from year to year. Jared Garantano, classic example, with the amount of different coaches and different styles he's seen already at Tennessee. I am curious, though, Coach, for the freshman players that are coming in now, this is the only college football experience they know. They haven't played under anyone else. How much can that help you if you're not getting accustomed to a different style of coaching, a different workout regime, practice schedule, everything else? And for these guys that are now coming into this program that were recruited by Jeremy Pruitt, can that be an advantage for those players because this is the only system and the only way of doing things they've ever known?
Well, certainly on the defensive side, they're going to hear the same thing for now going on 24 months. Of course, the newer guys coming in now, there's, 12 of them that are coming in, I think, that weren't early enrollees last year, 12, 13, something like that. But, it's like anything else. The more you hear things, the more you understand what this particular thing means. You know, whatever their defensive calls were in high school, they're different. A big key that gets overlooked in this, and this just started happening about 10 or 12 years ago, when the NCAA passed the rule that in the summer you could have 2 hours in the off season. Once spring practice was over, the spring semester was over, you could have 2 hours per week per individual of time with that coach. And believe me, that's been well taken advantage of. Probably 16 to 20 hours they've been with these coaches. And now they have a better understanding. All that happens in those meetings are tape practice, film practice, terminology, verbiage. Here's what this means. Here's what this means. Here's where you need to be on this particular play. Now, you got to go put it out on the field now, but now you know it. If you're competent at all, you at least have a general idea of what they're trying to get across when they go out on the field for those young guys. The older guys, listen, year one to year two, you know, it's an overworked phrase, overused phrase, but it really does make a huge difference between year one and year two, both as a player, but even more importantly, as a coaching staff. And I think we will see the benefit of that going into this fall. I know we will. Again, your competition has a heck of a lot to do with how many games you win, but it doesn't have anything to do with how well you play and how well you're coached and how well technique you are, and with the aggressiveness and the attitude that you play games with.
Doug Matthews joins us from the studio. One more segment with Doug. A reminder for all of the Weekend Zone listeners, and we know there are many of you because we see Doug's podcast numbers at 1045thezone.com. He will be live this weekend. So if you're out and about running some errands or you're traveling to some family functions, tune in to 1045 The Zone all weekend, including 9 to 11 for Forklift System Sports Saturday. That will take place this weekend, plus a live edition of Big Orange Sunday. Doug, you don't take any weeks off. It's impressive.
Well, I do, but, I decided a long time ago. I never did ever like doing replays, you know, so Even when I'm going to be off, I come in and tape a new show. Hey, when you know, you guys are on, what, 20 hours a week? Is that right? I'm on
That's
three.
Right.
I'm on three, so a little bit easier. And I'm out here in the weekend when, you know.
You know what I found out? Your show goes by so much faster than Midday 180. I was driving home from the weekend because I was with Doug this past week, and I'm like, man, that show flew by. And then I realized, yeah, because it was 2 hours, not four.
Well, hey, you know, that MTSU math gets you by a lot of things there, buddy.
Hey, it works, but it's slow. Let's put it that way. Let's go to Chase to lead us off with Rick on deck. Hey, Chase.
How's it going? I kind of had some questions. You know, we look back at the downward spiral that was the Butch Jones era, and I felt like some of the things that we missed on offense there was really just using some of the players we had, like Alvin Kamara. You know, you look at what he did in the NFL, looked at, we really didn't utilize him, you know, completely like we could have. And was wondering, going forward with the new offense coming in and everything, is that something you think they're going to do, try to utilize what they have versus trying to do what they do, if that makes sense?
Chase, that's I tell you what, that's an excellent question, and that is why Jim Chaney was brought in. Now, I'm not going to get into exactly what happened with the offensive coordinator last year and all that, but I will say this. I don't think that Coach Pruitt was upset to see a vacancy happen there, occur there. Jim Chaney, that's exactly who I was brought in. There's two things on this offense that are imperative, and both can be corrected. Number one, this offensive line has to play much better than they played and has to play up to their potential. I'm not one who says that these are a bunch of guys that can't play. That's not true at all. They got to play better. It's got to come from coaching. It's got to come from weight training. And then it's got to come from the young man themselves saying, hey, I'm going to be better. And if I'm better, it's going to make this offensive line better. You know, this is a veteran offensive line group. They literally could start five guys that have at least 4 years experience in this program. But the other thing, that's one big key. There is enough talent on in the skill positions, including the quarterback, to be a very good, in my opinion, offense. But you got to do the things that they can do, those individual players can do. You can't ask Juwan Jennings, for example, to beat people running by him deep. But you can do the things that he does very, very well. The skill positions from the tight end, running back and wide receivers and the quarterback are plenty good enough to move the ball against most team they're going to be playing. That's where Jim Chaney comes in, and that's the biggest difference I think you will see game day. You're going to see him putting the players in position to that will really get them in the best position for their skill set. That has not been done, in my opinion, up there for many years. Jim Chaney will fix that again. That's why he is there.
Chase, great call. Thank you. Let's go next to Rick on line two to discuss the 85 Tennessee Volunteers. What's up, Rick?
Hey, good morning, guys. Oh, Coach, listen to you every Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday. So for me, you're just a tremendous conduit for us football fans out here for the team.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, sir, you mentioned the 85 team earlier. Every time I hear the 85 team mentioned, what pops into my mind is one of the unsung heroes of that team was Gil Miller. I've been following the Tennessee Vols since the 60s, and I don't recall a better blocking back than Gil Miller. That guy was like a bowling ball exploding into the pins for a strike. I mean, yeah, I just thought he was just a tremendous, tremendous blocking back, and I'd like to hear your comments on Mr. Miller.
Well, Jimmy, he was. Every time I get asked, I had two, when I was running back coach there for 8.5 years, I had two outstanding fullbacks, Doug Furness and Jim Miller. And, you know, the thing about both of them were they came to Tennessee. Jimmy, as I call him, he's Jim now, a little older. You know, Jimmy was an outstanding running back of Father Ryan. When he came to Tennessee, though, he had to sacrifice to be a fullback, because we had some pretty darn good guys behind him, you know, Reggie Cobb, a few other people like that, Johnny Jones, a few other people like that. But that's what you do with the team. And, you know, you look, I've talked about this a lot on that particular group, and that's an easy one to talk about, because any Tennessee fan I know will put the 85 team in their top two or three teams, Tennessee teams of all time, because they overachieved. Now, this was an excellent bunch of players, don't get me wrong, but they overachieved so much. But we had guys like the Charles Davises and the Chris Whites. Those guys came in to be quarterbacks, and they ended up being defensive backs. That whole secondary, four of the five guys in the nickel set that played in that secondary started were former quarterbacks. They didn't leave when they saw they wasn't going to, when Tony Robinson got that job. They moved over the other side of the ball. They were team guys. That part of it's changed now. I understand that. But that's what you win with. You win with Jim Millers, who's going to go out there and give you everything he had, and play in a position. Would he have rather carried the ball 25 times instead of blocking 40? Absolutely. But that wasn't his position. That wasn't what we needed then. And Jimmy's carried that on in his coaching career and his family and everything else. His son-in-law is one of the offensive coaches at CPA, where my grandchildren go. It's fun to watch that, and I catch up with Jim every now and then on that. But one thing about Jim Miller, there were probably guys I coached that were maybe a little better athletically. Wasn't anybody any tougher than he was, I'll tell you that. Not many as tough.
Rick, thank you for the call, and we appreciate you listening both to Doug this hour and on the weekends for sure. Doug, one quick, let me double check with Rick Shedden. Rick, what year, do you know what year that was? With Doug and Philip in the photo, what year that would have been?
It had to be about, I'd say, 1964 to 66. I'm not sure. 1994 to 1996.
How about that, Doug?
You were on it. Well, you probably weren't around, Rick, in 64, so you're right. I darn sure wasn't. I was out in Oklahoma, but in Pitcher, Oklahoma, trying to get ready for my freshman year in college, in high school.
Yeah. I was in the eighth grade, so I'm not quite as old as you.
Gotcha.
Doug, thank you so much. Hey, have a happy 4th with you and the family. I know it's going to be big at the Matthews household for sure, and thank you, as always, for coming on the show.
We'll do it. See you next Wednesday.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Bye-bye.
Doug Matthews joins us every Wednesday at 11 a.m. as we talk Tennessee and SEC football. He's presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. You can catch Doug this weekend coming up 9 to 11, Forklift System Sports Saturday, and then on Sunday morning, 8 a.m. for Big Orange Sunday.